times as well, especially young men whose parents kind of, for instance, forced them to graduate from medical school before they married, and absurd things such as this. In any case, in that year, he began to seclude himself, and he would spend nights with his wife, and he would spend days secluded in this room in Masjid al-Hujaira, worshiping, but he also taught. So he separated himself from familial or societal obligations. He engaged in marriage, and also he taught, but he did seclude himself much of his time, to the extent that they said someone might try to follow him from Jumu'ah, which is about a quarter of a mile, maybe 400 yards, the Jumu'ah mosque from where that little mosque is. And he would just rush home from Jumu'ah and rush back to his masjid and close the door in the room he was, and they knock on the door and he wouldn't answer. And he'd be dedicating himself to his studies and worship and so forth. Rahimahullah. From those he taught in that year, or in those years, he spent 11 years doing that. And from those he taught in those years were the teacher, or was the teacher who taught him the beginning of guidance of Imam al-Ghazali and Irshad. So the teacher that he began to study with after he had finished his Quranic studies and began his studies, more serious studies in law and other disciplines, one of those teachers, that teacher's name was Al-Faqih Ba Jubair. He was a legal scholar from a family named Ba Jubair, and he's given the nickname Al-Faqih Ba Jubair. So he, Imam Haddad, studied some of the early books, for instance, in Imam Ghazali's books, the first book that they study, A Beginning of Guidance. He studied that with Al-Faqih Ba Jubair, and during his time of teaching, Al-Faqih Ba Jubair had taken a period of time out of Yemen and traveled to India and returned. And when he returned, and Imam Haddad had such openings in his own knowledge that he taught Al-Faqih Ba Jubair the Ihya of Imam Ghazali. So they say that The Beginning of Guidance is an elementary book by the author. Minhaj al-Abidin is an intermediate book. And The Revival of the Religious Sciences, the Ihya, is an advanced book. He studied an elementary book with the scholar and was the scholar's teacher in the advanced book. And he said in some of his poetry, "An ad'u man da'ani hakadha hukm al-qadiyah." He said, "I call those who summoned me, and this is the judgment of, this is divine decree." So, and a number of his early teachers later became his students, just because of the prominence and knowledge that he later attained. And in piety, he authored many beneficial texts. From them, this book, as well as Lives of Man, as well as Religious Councils and others, as well as what will soon to be published, the comprehensive or the complete call, Ad-Dawah At-Tamma. And you all should look for that. It's an excellent book, and it's a manual in inviting to Allah. And there aren't a lot of books authored on da'wah, and that's a fundamental text, the introduction to it, rather. And that's not uncommon in Islamic literature, that the introduction will be a book that could stand alone as a treatise. And the introduction of a da'wah tamma is a fundamental book about da'wah. So that's a good book to acquire that will come out soon. And he has some others that we haven't mentioned. We did Lives of Man last year, and inshallah will begin this year the Book of Assistance. And the Book of Assistance is a manual in life, really. It was a comprehensive counsel, a wasiyah, that he authored at the request of one of his peers. So it's a counsel from one scholar to another that was a personal request that he responded to in the form of this treatise, or of this letter, if you will. So we get to join them in their discussion and hopefully benefit and apply. And the milestones that someone needs in their own spiritual development are indicated in the Book of Assistance. It's sufficient for someone who's given tawfiq, who learns and acts upon it, to be a general counsel in the religion for an individual. And we ask Allah to give us success in that. Has the food arrived? So we will... La ilaha illallah. We'll begin a little bit, just for the blessing of having begun. But the food has arrived, and we can take a break and have food after we read a little bit more. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillah. One, just as a show of hands, how many of you all have the text?
So that's like
what do you say, 70% of the men and about half of the women? Yeah, just okay. So we highly advise acquiring it before next month on the 18th. We're going to meet again on the 18th. And tonight we'll probably do the introduction, and that'll also give you all a chance to acquire the text, and we'll do the first chapter next month on November 18th.
We have copies of the text in the back. The copies of the text are $20, and you can put the money in the box, and you can get a copy of the text in the back of the room.
La ilaha illallah. And then one point though, and this isn't a jab at the organizers. There's some copies, they have a picture of a man who looks like he's in Timbuktu. The text is the same, however, that's just a more recent print. And personally, I don't prefer, I'm kind of conservative about photographs. I don't prefer full-size photographs. They're not permissible in the Hanafi school, if I'm correct. And the printers didn't consult me, nor did they consult El Imam Haddad, so please don't hold it against myself or this class or the author. And some of our shuyukh from his tradition, they're quite conservative about photographs. Others differ, but that's just a point. And it's the same text though, and the information is the same. And we'll have some observations we'll make on the translation at a couple of points where either the translator was working from a different Arabic version than we have with us, or we slightly differ with him in his view of translation of a given line or two here and there. And then also, and this was common in the past because of the knowledge that was available. There was a time in the Muslim world where every Muslim was expected, or even not recent contemporary scholars view that every Muslim should memorize the 40 hadiths of Imam an-Nawawi, and that seekers of knowledge should memorize Riyad al-Salihin. That someone who's really scholarly, they memorize Bukhari and so forth. And that was not the least bit uncommon in the Muslim world historically. Someone of learning would have at least read the six sound compilations, and likely the Muwatta of Imam Malik and perhaps the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. And these are people that studying those texts meant perhaps writing them oneself, and perhaps memorizing them, and if not memorizing them, at least being very well acquainted with them. So when books were authored, a given hadith scholar like Bukhari or Muslim or so-and-so wasn't necessarily referenced because the citations were so familiar with the individuals who worked in that discipline. Now that our memories aren't what they used to be, when we use these texts, one of the things that the Islamic scholarship does now, the print houses, they'll have people do what they call tahqiq, which basically means going through the books of the previous scholars and putting in footnotes. And those footnotes will mention things like hadith references and explain things that were somewhat obscure, whereas in the past that would have been considered prerequisite information. So this text that you have, there are some notes of hadith, but many of the hadith appear without a citation. Like, it doesn't say Bukhari narrated this, or Muslim narrated that, or Imam Tirmidhi narrated this. Again, why? Because the scholar who he wrote this for and the people that were literate, Islamically literate in that time, they would have known that. That was understood, and it was prerequisite information. However, in our time, the prerequisites are a lot lower. So one of the tasks that I will take upon myself, inshallah, is to cite those to the extent I am able. And that's another reason why it behooves you to have the text, because we'll go through and you can put your own footnotes in. We'll say Muslim narrated this, Bukhari narrated that, or a similar riwayah, and so forth. And we'd like you all to benefit from that, because again, it's relevant to do so in our time, and it's additional knowledge that's of benefit, inshallah ta'ala. Fadl Sid. No.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Book of Assistance, Support, and Encouragement for such believers as desire to follow the way of the afterlife. In the name of Allah, the Merciful and Compassionate, Lord, make it easy and give assistance. O Generous One, grant us truth, for you are the one who grants the knowing. Transcendent are you. We have no knowledge save that which you have taught us. You are indeed the knowing, the wise. All praise belongs to Allah, the one, the unique, the munificent, the bestower, the provider, the solicitous, the benevolent, who did send Muhammad, the seal of his prophets, with his message to all men and jinn, and revealed to him the Quran, which is guidance for the people and clear indications for guidance and discernment, and ordained for him his nation, that which he had enjoined upon Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and gave precedence to his religion over all others, and made him the most honorable of his creation and in his sight, and rendered his nation the best nation brought out for mankind, which believed in Allah and the last day, enjoined good and forbade evil, assisted each other in benevolence and taqwa, refrained from helping each other in sin and aggression, established the ritual prayer, gave the zakat, gave each other counsels of truth and fortitude, and fought in the way of Allah, fearless and of the criticisms of those who are devious and forsaken. For only those in whom Allah's words are wretched, our wretchedness, failure, disgrace, and humiliation were fulfilled attempt to drive people away from Allah and degenerate those who give him his due. And only those whom Allah has destined for happiness, safety, triumph, and felicity give themselves totally to counseling Allah's servants and inviting them to his door. These are the Prophet's heirs, the leaders of those who have taqwa, the best among believers in the sight of the Lord of the worlds. They are firmly grounded in knowledge, have experienced the realities of faith, certainty, and excellence, and attained through unveiling and contemplation to the secrets of Allah's mulk and malikut. They only attain to these merits and achieve such ranks through the excellence of their following in the footsteps of the leader of leaders, whom Allah sent as a mercy to the worlds, who is Allah's slave, his messenger, beloved, and intimate friend, our Lord Muhammad. May blessings and peace be upon him and his house, and may those blessings be repeated in each instant and perpetuated for as long as Allah, the Sovereign, the Requiter, abides.
Bismillah. Bismillah, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. So with our chain to the author, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the author began with the Basmala. And then he mentioned the Hamdala. And then he mentioned As-Salaa ala Sayyidina Rasulillah. And the Basmala is a name for Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the Hamdallah is a name for saying Alhamdulillah. And he sent Salawat ala Sayyidina Rasulillah. So authors begin with the Basmala, emulating the example of the mighty Quran. And Allah began Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And also emulating the correspondence of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there are also numerous traditions which would indicate, though there's exception taken to some of the chains of transmissions of these traditions, that we should always begin matters of importance in the deen with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the Prophet ﷺ indicated that someone who does not do so, their work will be deficient and of little blessing. So he began Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and from the meanings of the Basmala, is that everything that is or was is through me. Everything that is or was only occurs through Allah creating it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma sha'allahu kana wa man lam yasha' lam yakun. And that's a meaning that's relevant in this discipline, and in each discipline they talk about basmala in a way that's relevant to that discipline. So we should know that nothing exists except through Allah's creating it, particularly relevant to us, our obedience. So we're not going to learn, and we're not going to teach, and we're not going to act if Allah doesn't create those. So we should ask Him for that. And you'll notice the first thing the author said after that is, oh my Lord, facilitate and assist. Because if it only occurs through Allah, He's taught us that in the Basmala, then we have to ask Him if we hope for it to occur. Because without Allah gifting us this text, and gifting us these works and teaching, none of that will occur, because nothing occurs except through Allah's will and His creative act, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the basmala, all of the meanings of the Quran are in the Fatiha, and it's the greatest surah. And all of the meanings of the Fatiha are in the basmala, are in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And some of them understood that all of the meanings of the basmala are in its ba, and all of the meanings of the ba are in the first dot. And Allah's speech is one of His beginningless eternal attributes, and His attributes are not compartmentalized, ordered, describable by creatures, or divided. So the slightest dot of Allah's speech can carry all of the meaning of all of Allah's speech, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basmala is deep. Imam Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, if I were to speak about the meanings of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, I could weigh down 70 camels. So a little bit of Quran is a whole lot. And beginning with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is not a light matter. For someone of awareness, it's as heavy as the Quran itself, as heavy as Allah's speech itself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah knows that. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So may Allah give us to begin billah wa bismillah. Bismillah wa billah wa illallah wa alallah wa fillah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And there is no power or strength except through Allah. So we ask Allah to grant us a good beginning in this, and that Allah give us a good end. And we depend upon Him, not upon ourselves, to learn and to act and to teach. And we entrust the outcome to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because only He knows the outcome that is best, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should connect all of our important affairs with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and know that they only occur Bismillah wa Billah, with Allah's name and through Allah's creating them. And we should do so with an attachment to Allah and His remembrance, and also reminding ourselves that they'll only occur with Allah's aid. And we hope that Allah grant us to experience that. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So then he began again praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's only going to occur with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid. And then alhamdulillah, hamd means, first of all, we say praises for Allah, praises for Allah, praises for Allah. And that, it seems like a sentence which is informing us, but actually it means praise God. It's an order. And in Arabic we do that. We say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what we mean is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad. So it's khabariya lafdan insha'iyya ma'na. Praise Allah. Allah is the name of the divine. The proper name of God is Allah. And it's the lafdul jalala, the magnificent saying. And it's the name that includes all names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meanings of all the names are in Allah. And it is a proper name for the essence which necessarily exists. Allah's existence is necessary, and our existence is contingent on Allah's creating us. Whereas Allah's always has been and always will be subhanahu. And everything only gains its existence through His creating it, whereas He exists through Himself. So it's a proper name of that one who exists through Himself, who deserves and possesses all perfections, and is too glorious to have any deficiency, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should call Him by the name Allah. We should be attached to the name Allah. Muslim narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the final hour won't come until there's no one who says Allah, Allah. So we should remember Him a lot. And Allah ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remember Him by the name Allah. Someone comes and tells you don't say Allah, Allah, that person doesn't understand Allah's book. Because Allah said, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Make dhikr of the name of your Lord and dedicate yourself to Him entirely. And what's the name of your Lord? Yani, you don't know the name of your Lord? Then don't remember the name of your Lord. But those of us who know the name of our Lord, we know the name of our Lord is Allah. So we make a lot of dhikr of Allah. And we should be attached to Him. Mention His name. Bismillah wa billah wa illallah wa alallah wa fillah. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Remember Allah's name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in numerous expressions. La ilaha illallah. So praise is for him. Hamd is to praise something for a willful action which is splendid. Right? So you praise, you do hamd of something for the willful goodness that being has shown. Whereas you do madah for an intrinsic praiseworthy quality that that thing has. So like you might praise Brother Khalil for the maintenance of this mosque, right? And that would be hamd. Whereas if you were to praise, for instance, the beautiful trees of fall in their colors, that would be madah, because that's not a willful action on the case of the trees. It's madah. So they say, like, if you praise a pearl, it's madah, but when you praise a willful action, it's hamd. And so we make praise of Allah, and all praise belongs to Him. And that can mean praise as a species is in reality only for Allah. Or all praise in its entirety, is only for Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he sent Muhammad. And if we're going to praise Allah for a blessing, the best blessing that we could praise for is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah said, wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you would not encompass them. A great scholar, Sahab bin Abdullah At-Tustari, said that the ni'matullah in this blessing is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And without doubt, without him, there wouldn't be any blessing that we could reap the benefit of, because ultimately the outcome of that would be eternal damnation. But he led us to that which we benefit from every blessing that we receive, whether it be religious or worldly. He led us to the good of that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we're going to praise Allah, we should especially praise Allah for Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should praise Allah for Allah too. Praise Allah for giving Himself to, giving us awareness of Himself and allowing us to praise Him. We can't praise Him for allowing us to praise Him. We could never thank Him, subhanahu wa, because any thanks requires additional thanks, because our thanking Him is a blessing in and of itself. And may Allah give us to praise Him. Muhammad is the proper name of our Prophet. You know the name of your Prophet? Your Prophet's name is Muhammad bin Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim. He's the Qurayshi prophet, who is Hashimi, from the Qurayshi tribe and the branch, the Hashimite branch, the clan, if you will. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent in the year of the elephant. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived 40 years, received the revelation, called for 13 more in Mecca, and made hijra to Medina, where he called for 10 more years until he died and was buried there. Salawat alayhi wa sallam hu alayhi. And Muhammad is ism maf'ul min hammada, and that means praise intensely. So it's someone who is praised much because of his many praiseworthy qualities. That's what Muhammad literally means. However, here it's the proper name of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, named by the inspiration to his mother and Abdul Muttalib. They asked Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, why didn't you name him one of the names of his ancestors? And he said, I named him Muhammad because I hoped that he would be praised by those in the heavens and the earth. And that's what occurs. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak alayhi wa alayhi. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And then he sent salawat on the Prophet. We say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and that is a wajib. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak alayhi wa alayhi. It is an obligation, a religious obligation, to send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How often? Scholars differ about that. The toughest position is every time he's mentioned. And he said, "Al-bakhilu man dhukirtu 'indahu falam yusalli 'alayh." Someone is stingy if I was mentioned before them and he don't send blessings upon me. That's in Ahmad and it's Sahih. So we should always send salawat on the Prophet. What does salah mean? Salah is mercy and esteem from Allah. From angels, it's istighfar, seeking forgiveness. From others, humans and otherwise, it's at-tadarru' and du'a, pleading on the behalf of and supplicating for. So we send salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah and his angels do as well. And salam is aman, it's security from every misfortune or every harm or everything unbefitting of his station, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should always send salawat on the Prophet. And there are traditions indicating that any religious sermon or book or praiseworthy action should begin with hamd and salah ala nabi, in the case of sermons. And then any other action, pretty much, that's religiously meritorious also should begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Though the khutbah of Jummah, you don't begin with Bismillah. So authors begin Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, and with Salah ala Sayyidina Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you'll notice that he mentioned he's sent to mankind and the jinn. The jinn are accountable. The jinn are accountable. Some of them believed and some of them disbelieved. And they're punished for their disbelief, like Iblis will be. Allah protect us from him. He's from the jinn. And Allah protect us from the harm of the shayateen al-ins and jinn, the devils of jinn kind and mankind. And the Quran was revealed to him, and that was a guidance to humanity, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like the other prophets. And what do the prophets do? They call to Allah and command the good and forbid the wrong and encourage goodness and taqwa and cooperating in that and not cooperating in sin and transgression. And they establish prayer, and they establish, and they give zakat, and they encourage truth and steadfastness, and they strive in the way of Allah, not fearing the blame of anyone who would cast blame or anyone who would forsake them. And no one opposes this way except those who will be damned. And the felicitous follow the ways of the prophets, and those who will triumph, and those who will have good pleasure. And we ask Allah to grant us that, and to make us of those people. And he describes in summary the way of those people. And what is the way of the people of goodness, of good pleasure of Allah, of ultimate happiness and salvation, of triumph in a real sense? It is their closely following the Imam of Imams, and that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to the worlds. So they follow him, and he is the imam. And you could say, how was that imam sent? That imam was sent in mercy. So they're people of mercy and people of calling others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah make us from them. So in this introduction, he did what's called bara'atul istihlal. And that is when an author indicates the purpose of his text by eloquent expression in the introduction. So he's indicating that this is a text about following the way of prophecy and calling others to that and emulating the Imam of the Imams. So you could say the point of this text, if we were to summarize this counsel in the religion, is follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in belief, follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in action, and follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in character, and you'll be successful. Because he's the imam of all of that. Salawat alayhi wa salamu alayhi. May Allah give us to follow him. And we'll take a break now. And I believe the food has arrived. And I believe Isha time has also arrived. So we'll take a break. And inshallah complete the author's introduction. And there's some points that we'll highlight. Inshallah everyone acquire the text. And the next time we meet, we'll cover the first chapter or two, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. We can take questions at the end of the session after our break. And the next session.